It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Good morning, honey. It's time for Chasing the Word. It's Monday on Compassion Radio.
It's great to be back.
We do this every Monday, of course, and a lot of our friends have followed us through this series for quite a while. The point is, we want to try to launch the week well and spend time in the Word together, but not just do a sermon. This is an exploration, an adventure into the Scripture, and we do it together, hoping to model this for others. Folks, you have friends. You have loved ones. A lot of people have a lot of great things that they've learned from the Word of God that when they, if ever invited to do so, would be able to share that with each other in ways that could lift each other up. That's the power of the community coming together to study and learn from the Word. So we call this Chasing the Word because we're joining together in the hot pursuit of what God's doing, is always doing, and shows us what He's about in His Word. And we're in the book of John. We're on chapter 9 now.
And as a reminder, they need to check out our website on the podcast page so they can download the Dynamic Gospel and also the study guide that goes along with these chapters. So reading from the Holman Christian Standard, starting in verse 1 of chapter 9. As Jesus was passing by, he saw a blind man who was blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Another I am statement
yes,
there.
Yes, indeed.
After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back, seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, "Isn't this the man who sat begging?" Some said, "He is the one." "No," others were saying, "but he does look like him." He kept saying, "I'm the one." Therefore they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me to go wash in Siloam. So when I went and washed my eyes, I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. So they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. By the way, the day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was the Sabbath. So again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," he told them. "I washed and I can see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. Again, they asked the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" "He is a prophet," the man said. The Jews did not believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight.
Interesting, it would start with talking about he doesn't keep the Sabbath when they attacked Jesus for doing this. Now, we've gone through this a number of times in the story of Jesus in the past few weeks that we've studied this. Sabbath to him is something very different than they're used to. Now, what it comes down to is that they run the religion. And when Jesus doesn't do church like they do, they excoriate him for it because they're the ones that tell people how to worship. Not invite people to come worship with them. They tell them how they have to. And if they don't do it well enough, they get judged for it and sent back to square one.
Or kicked out of the church.
Yep. And Jesus, Sabbath is everywhere he goes. When you join Jesus in what he's doing, there's always peace. And Jesus certainly was not doing church the way they wanted him to.
No.
Church was everywhere he went. This is the whole point of being with Jesus. And if we go to worship now and Jesus doesn't show up because we're so busy with doing church stuff, we really haven't had church.
Well, and that's our own fault.
Yeah.
If we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, if we're just doing it by rote, then we get lost in the stuff of church.
Before we get on to what it is to do church right or not do church right, let's jump back to the very beginning again. As Jesus jumps into verse 3, he says, if anything, it's an opportunity for God to show how great he is. He's saying there's no sin involved here. Or if there is sin, it's not the ones you're thinking of. It's like Jesus is saying, I'm so glad this happened. Because now God's going to show up and do something special. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what the parents might have done or not done. Don't worry about what this guy might have done in his lifetime that he was being punished before he was even born for it. Let's focus on how great God is.
Well, and this will remove a lot of the stigma that goes along with this kind of handicap or birth disorder. Mm. People thought in those days, and maybe some still do to point, that
they're cursed.
They're cursed. Yeah. And the reason that they have this disability is something that is a curse on them. And
that
Jesus
is a moral question.
Yeah, Jesus is doing away with this.
I would agree it is a moral question, but the question is not what caused and therefore where to assign blame.
Mm-hmm.
The morality we're talking about is the kind that comes from the ethic of love.
Mm-hmm.
Morality is supposed to be based upon what truth is. And you act in a way that recognizes and observes and respects truth. The biggest truth that Jesus is putting out here is that love has come to save.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop until it does. It's relentless.
And it's not going to be concerned about whether it's the Sabbath or not.
Yeah. But because it's there, we've got Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Sabbath is not a calendar event. It's not a function. Sabbath is about being with God. God rests from his labor so he could contemplate and be with himself and enjoy the fruits of his labor. He wants us to do the same thing, not just about ourselves away from him, but together with him to enjoy all that has come about in the days preceding this. But it's more than just a seven-day cycle, too. We're talking about a lifestyle, a whole entering into a mentality that says, when I settle down and when God enters the room, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a judgment. It's not going to be a courtroom scene. It's going to be a reunion every single time. And Jesus is doing that. Every time he shows up, something beautiful happens.
Mm-hmm.
My question in response to that verse 3 is, if Jesus comes there and says, watch what happens next. Think about every other time that we've experienced in our lifetimes, some setback or some horrible disfigurement or other kinds of things that happen to children that should not happen, like a sickness, or there can be great tragedies that happen in our life. We ask ourselves, why did God let this happen? Do we ask ourselves what God could do right now that he might be overjoyed to be part of? For example, we have friends that are deeply caught in COVID right now, and they're very scared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite possible we may lose some friends in this wave of COVID that we were not expecting to be exposed to the virus again that are going to die. I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
My mind first goes to all the reasons why this shouldn't have happened. And why does it happening now? And who's going to be affected? And I have to admit that not much of my thinking went to, what's God up to?
Yeah.
And what does he expect us to be listening for and watching him do in the circumstance? I have to recalibrate in the face of that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be foolish of me to walk into a room and say, okay, you need to praise God for what's happening to you, because that doesn't make sense either. But there's some sense that Jesus is saying here, because he showed up, things will be different.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a chance for God to show how good he really is. So this guy's situation, being born blind, is pretty profound. It's bad. Another thing that comes to mind is that people didn't recognize him when he came back into town, probably because everything about his frame looked normal. He turns around and his eyes are opened.
And
he's able to look at them.
His countenance is clear and he's excited about life. Yeah.
And people tend to recognize each other by their faces and their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a talk with Cher just a couple of days ago while we were talking about Afghanistan, and that program will be coming up this week on Compassion Radio. The thing that was so remarkable for her about actually meeting people in Afghanistan back in 2001 was that moving through all the circles they did, from warlords to politicians to people in villages to meeting the Taliban face to face, the memories that come flooding back from the time that they actually brought Jesus and brought the message of Isa to Afghanistan as the war was just winding down the first time was how penetrating the gaze was. People did not look away.
Mm.
They wanted to know who you were, what you were about. And in some ways, it was like they were scanning your faces to memorize them, because we've never seen you before. We may never see you again, but I don't want to forget this.
Mm-hmm.
Cher and Norm felt the same way about looking in the faces of the people they met, including the Taliban, the people who are now probably the folks running the show at this point. They met people who were soldiers on the street that were fighting different forces at the time. They remember them because of their eyes. I asked Cher if she thinks about those people. I said, every day. I mean, you can't escape the faces you saw that God let you witness. And she's been praying for these people for 20 years. Who knows where the gospel has penetrated, like 30 or 40 years ago when Brother Andrew brought the gospel to the Palestinian territories and literally had a Bible study in his office with commanders of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
There were people in the command of these terrorist organizations that were turning to Jesus. because someone was willing to sit with them and to know them. Jesus knows this guy and sees his eyes before those eyes even exist.
Before they see anything else.
Yeah. And the first thing they really see and comprehend and pay attention to is Jesus. Mm. Great story.
Yeah. Well, Jesus goes on to talk about doing the work of God during the day while the light is there. And then he makes this great I am statement, I am the light of the world. And we know how that's upset so many people up to this point in the book of John, all the I am statements that Jesus has made. We must do the work while it's day. Mm-hmm. We have an opportunity to get down in the dirt and in the business of doing God's work.
Well, I think when we head out for a hike and you get to the end of the day and realize you're not going to get back until well after dark, have you packed your flashlight?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the first things you think of. Will I have any light?
Yeah.
When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he just finished saying, work while you've got the light.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, he's referring to his life on earth. You know, he knows he's going to be called away from the earth at some point. And while he's physically present, there's a certain kind of light. He lights up the room when he walks in.
Mm-hmm.
People recognize him. They know his laugh. They know the way he talks. They know his tics and his personality quirks.
And his habits. And
yeah. Oh. You and I know how it's like when someone you love walks into the room you haven't seen in a while, how fun it is. The room just lightens up.
Mm.
But Jesus is also saying at the very end of that statement, I am the light of the world. So he's making a promise here too. He's saying, no matter how dark the night, light is in the room if I am there.
Mm.
And we often forget that. We pray to him like he's in some other space or place. But we don't, while we're in the dark, ask him for the light for our feet and the inspiration and the vision for what we need to see right now when things are at their darkest. He had just made a penetrating promise that he would be there and be light for you. For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Honey, let's turn to The Dynamic Gospel now and read those scriptures from that translation.
This, again, is our modern language edition of the Book of John. It's available to you anytime you'd like to support Compassion Radio and get a copy of this book. We'd love to put one in your hands, and you can use it for your Bible study and share it with a friend, perhaps. We also have a Bible study that's based on this. It's available on the website. Just look at that at the podcast section of CompassionRadio.com. All right, here's chapter 9. On his way out, Jesus walked by a man begging near the entrance of the temple. He had been blind since birth and had no prospects for a real job. His students noticed the man too and asked him, "Teacher, was this man born blind as a punishment for the sin to come, or was he cursed because his parents committed some foul deed?" "Neither," said Jesus. "If anything, it's an opportunity for God to show how great he is, and he will in this man. You can only work while it's light out, and it's shining brightly right now. So follow my example. Work hard, just like I do when the Father commands me. Without the Son, you're just as blind as this man, and it's impossible to do anything productive. Whenever and wherever you find me in this world, there is plenty of light. There's no excuse to remain idle." When the teaching words were finished, the teaching action followed. Jesus spat on the ground enough to make mud out of the dust. He coated his thumb with it and carefully but firmly rubbed it into the man's eyes, not unlike the prophets of old anointing the forehead of the special chosen. Jesus said to the man, "Go now, wash yourself thoroughly in the pool called Siloam," which means sent. The man obeyed, and in that obedience, his eyes were opened, literally and figuratively. Folks on the street who had known the man for years said after his return, "What's happened to our blind beggar? Who's this bright-eyed man in his place?" Others said, "Oh no, it's the same guy." "Couldn't be," replied the first group. "He may look like him, but there's no way he just started to see like the rest of us." The man stuck up for himself, and they recognized his voice. "It's me, all right," he said with a big smile. "I can see you just as well." "How in the world did this happen?" they demanded. "Where did you get your good eyes?" The man excitedly explained. "That man called Jesus stopped where I was and touched my eyes with wet clay, then said to me, 'Go wash yourself at the pool of Siloam.' I did as he instructed, and wham, I could see." Now the crowd was just as excited. "Where is this man? We want to talk to him." Looking around the crowd, the man said, "I'm not sure." Uncertain whether this was a miracle or some magical trick, the crowd summoned the fundamentalists, those judgmental experts in the scriptures. They interrogated the man. This was the second time Jesus had abused the Sabbath laws and had healed somebody on a Saturday, and they were in no mood to ignore such an egregious transgression. "How did your eyes suddenly light up?" the fundamentalist demanded. The healed man repeated his story for these spiritual professionals. "Just what I've been telling them. That man rubbed wet clay in my eyes and instructed me to wash completely. When I was clean, I could see." The Sabbath, apparently, was set aside for judging others harshly, and some of the fundamentalists were happy to exercise their obligation. "Aha! What have we been telling you? This Jesus works for the devil, that's for sure. God would never instruct anyone to break the Sabbath laws." Others among them weren't willing to go that far. "Doing miracles is the devil's work? We think not." Over this point, a huge division arose among the fundamentalists. Unable to resolve it themselves, they mocked the healed man and asked his opinion. "Well, what do you think about the man who did this to you?" The man simply said, "He must be a prophet." Their religious experts disregarded the man's opinion, of course, though they had nothing better to offer. They still suspected it was a trick of some sort. They summoned the man's parents, who were still living. It's kind of a halfway point in the story, but we have to break there because we'll have a whole lot of time in the program. Closing thoughts for me, honey.
I just continue to be amazed at how much of a stickler these people are about religious rules
that they made up.
And the legalism here is so overwhelming. I know so many people, myself included at some point, grew up in a legalistic way. And it is so hard to get yourself away from that and to realize the freedom that we have in Christ and the freedom to serve him and to worship him in spirit and in truth without all of the trappings of rules and regulations and laws. And my heart aches for these people because they're shooting themselves in the foot, basically. They're really limiting their own understanding of who God is and how much God just loves us and just wants to be with us and just wants to work in us and through us to love others. Mm-hmm. I used to be really angry at the Pharisees all the time, and I used to think, what crazy idiots these people are because they're so legalistic. But then I also realized, I came to a point of realization that that is exactly where I came from. And looking back at that, I would have been just like this. He broke the rules. Yeah. There's rules for reasons, and you have to do them and make sure that you follow them. I know that there are important rules to follow, and there are important doctrinal issues that we have to adhere to or that we have to wrestle through. But rules can stifle us, and rules can keep us from seeing the heart of God.
Yeah. Jesus himself said pretty much, "I am above the rules if I want to be, but I haven't come to destroy them. I come to fulfill them." In other words, put the real life back into them that was intended and to show you the way. Now, they're all hot under the collar because of what seems to be the breaking of the rules of the Sabbath. These are all derivatives, right? Jesus comes and says, "I come to bring the rule of Christ."
Yes.
So the kingdom of God is here, is with us, and the king decides. It's not like it's not a living thing. A living king is making decisions minute by minute for the best interests of his people. And when Jesus says, "This is the rule today, this man gets healed. Mm-hmm. How much more rest can you enter into but the joy of saying, wow, yeah. God did something beautiful.
Yeah. And I love that he uses the earth, makes the mud, mm-hmm. and uses the earth to be part of this man's healing. And you know, maybe it's not significant at all in this, but I think that Jesus is showing us that we are part of that earth, that we are able to use the things that are simple to bring about healing, to bring about realization of God's bigger plan.
Yeah. I see in the mud something very simple, in that Adam was formed out of the dust mm-hmm. and created out of the clay, basically, is the word that the Hebrew uses.
Yeah.
And God decided to do something new with the things that were in his hands. And he created man. And when man could see, he was a whole new level of being. He wasn't just a statue of a man. There's something about the way God went about creating man. Whatever method he used, yeah. there came a point when man knew, hey, I'm a man. Mm-hmm. I'm special. I have a reason to be here, and I need to know what that is. And relationship became possible. The last thing I want to bring up here is that the reason that there's healing, why there's rest for all of these people at the end of the story, is simply because the man obeyed the rule maker.
Yes. Yeah.
It was not a difficult rule. Jesus said, Siloam, you, and he knew exactly what it meant. Get thee unto Siloam Springs. Mm-hmm. In other words, live out the intention of that. Go there when you have a need, when you have a promise, when you are hopeful. Mm-hmm. People did not go to Siloam Springs when they were hopeless. They went there when they were hopeful. Mm-hmm. And he goes there and obeys the word of this prophet. And I like that he used the word prophet, not just because he thought he had authority, but because Jesus could see what he could not yet, and told him something that changed him before he even had his eyes opened. Mm-hmm. That to me is really important, that the man who was healed, the one who experienced the joy the most, is the one who obeyed the rule of Christ, mm-hmm. not the rules of the rule book.
Yeah.
And Jesus is never going to lead us into bad things. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, the world would fall apart if we didn't have rules anymore. And most legalists would make that appeal. We have these rules for a reason. Yeah, they're probably 500-year-old rules for 500-year-old reasons. The alternative to not obeying legalism or being a legalist is not a disruption of the world and the crumbling of
moral authority or
the crumbling of everything you know is good and dear. The alternative to legalism is Jesus.
Mm, yeah.
Really knowing him and really being with him and experiencing him. So I would say for anybody who's stuck in the bottle thinking, will I ever really experience the real Jesus? I've been here, I've been reading my Bible religiously an hour a day for the past 30 years, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. They're following the rules of things.
No,
these
joy.
Are things that I have to do to become close to God, but they're not really getting them close because they're doing the things for the rules. Sometimes you got to check the rules and say, Jesus, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And actually ask him, not just tell him what to do.
Yeah, yeah. And honey, I also can't help but think that it is tremendously significant that the name of the pool was sent.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think that, but I'm sure it was.
Jesus, I think, had a great gift for pun.
Yeah.
And I think John's picking up on that there, too. Yeah. Friends, thanks so much for joining us on this Compassion Radio broadcast. This is Chasing the Word, our Monday broadcast. We look forward to seeing you again in the days to come to learn more about what God's doing in the world right now. In the meantime, come visit us on the Compassion Radio website. Get a copy of the Dynamic Gospel for yourself and pick up a copy of the Bible study that's online for free. Thanks so much.
There's no sweeter name than Jesus. I have tasted, I have seen. There's no sweeter name than Jesus. A friend when I'm in need.
God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.